morning. Is that okay? Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. And welcome to Stephen, who's leading us in worship. We really appreciate you, Stephen, covering. Thank you. Just a couple of announcements. As you know, we've got all our activities this week. The church will be open with the displays, and the hall and cafe will be open as well for just to see all the pictures. Take your time to wander in to church and reflect on 150 years of our church, and also look forward to the next 150. But just a couple of intimations as well. So obviously our weekly timetable is kind of slightly altered this week, so a few of our groups have been cancelled. The Guild is still on, but it's on in the large hall tomorrow evening, and the Knit and Natter will be on in the large hall as well tomorrow. But I think everything else is off for the rest of the week. And just to update you on the vote that we took last week about the new name for the new union, David kindly reminded me to update you, sorry. So it was almost unanimous, 49-4 and 1 against. So I've let the presbytery and the mission planning team know that, the new name for the union going forward. So we'll wait to hear what the next stage is for that. And one piece of sad news, I had a call last night from Ian Brown to let me know of the sad passing of his dad. So Ian Brown Senior passed away a couple of nights ago. He had a bit of a fall. His health has been failing over the last few months anyway. But it's always a sad time for the family. Details of the funeral will be forthcoming as we get them, and we'll let you know. But it was just to let you know and to try and remember the family in your prayers. Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret. Any other intimations will be on the news sheet. As our call to worship this morning, we're going to look at Psalm 146, if you like to read the words in the bold print. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is... He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord loves the righteous.
Amen. Let's stand if you're able as we sing together in worship hymn number 111. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Let's come before God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you in worship today, we acknowledge the glory of your holiness. We praise you that though we are unworthy, you have provided salvation for us through your grace in giving us your only Son, Jesus, as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. We come with thanksgiving for the new life you have given us and for all the wonderful gifts of creation, family, friendship, and daily needs. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is with us each day, bringing comfort, strength, and guidance through all the trials of life. We confess that we often fail to live up to the standard Jesus set us, and we are sorry for this. But we thank you for the assurance that you forgive all who truly repent. We pray for your forgiveness and your help to live for Christ. Hear us as we pray together with the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, we don't have the kids in with us this morning, but I just thought I would share one or two thoughts about the second reading that we've got, which is from Psalm 91. Eagles are mentioned a number of times in the Bible. And eagles, when we look at them, they give us an impression of majesty and power as they soar above us. Psalm 91, which will be read shortly, gives us a picture of God's willingness to care for us as an eagle cares for its young. In verse 4 there it says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." The picture is given there of the way that an eagle cares for its chicks, giving them shelter and sustenance under its wings. In Deuteronomy as well, it mentions when the chicks are learning to fly. It says there that we are the apple of God's eye. And God is like the eagle that stirs up the nest and hovers over its young as they're learning to fly, and ready to catch them. It spreads its wings and it catches them and then carries them in its pinions. And as the eagle provides all the needs of its young, so God wants to shelter and protect us from any harm. Sometimes we can find it difficult to believe that God can care for us and protect us in this way. But I remember when a long time ago, when I remember a medical missionary to Africa telling us her story of when she was caught and threatened by rebel soldiers in Congo in the 1960s. She didn't expect to survive, but she believed God could save her. And as she stood in front of them, she had this image in her head of God protecting her like an eagle. And when the rebel leader came along and gave her orders, he was threatening her, and he barked out orders to her, and she stood still and she just said, "I can't, I'm covered with feathers." And he carried on trying to get her to do something. And each time he tried to order her, she said the same thing, "I can't, I'm covered in feathers." And she had this overwhelming feeling of God being right there, protecting her and covering her. And eventually the rebel leader decided that she must be mentally ill and no threat, and he left her there with the other captives. And then sometime later, they were all rescued. Now, we may not have this type of experience, But God often gives us what we need at any particular time. There are times in our lives when things will happen, and God knows what we need, and he promises to be there, and to give us what we need at the time. Psalm 91 and 15, it says, when we fully trust and dwell in the shelter of God's love, he promises to be with us and to deliver us in time of trouble and supply all our needs. Then we'll sing together hymn number 14, The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want. Okay, now Miriam's going to come and read to us from Psalm 91 and 1 Timothy 6.
First reading comes from Psalm 91, reading verses 1 to 6 and then 14 to 16. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampant. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he knows my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Second reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, reading verses 6 to 19. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Final charge to Timothy. But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life which you are called. When you make your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who well testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God the blessed, and the only ruler, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honour and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Amen. And may God bless the reading of his holy word.
Okay, thanks Miriam. Now we're going to sing together another hymn from Mission Praise, number 564.
Thank you.
Let's just pray for a second. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Now in Timothy chapter 6, we're looking at godliness with contentment there. I wonder, how do you feel about wealth? What priority do you give to gaining wealth or becoming rich? Do you maybe wait for that elusive lottery win each week? Or do you hope that you'll get a mystery inheritance sometime? I think we all have little things in the back of our mind. It would be nice to have a little bit more than we've got. In the last few weeks, we've been looking at themes around the rich and the poor, which Jesus spent a lot of time talking about. And last week, Robert challenged us about whether we put God first above everything else. In this passage in 1 Timothy, it's Paul the Apostle who's issuing the challenge to Timothy to teach the believers in Ephesus about what their attitude to riches should be. Timothy was a relatively timid young teacher whom Paul had nurtured in the faith. And I'm sure there would be a lot of people who would look at him and say, well, at his age, what does he know? And the older you get, the more you think that way. But he had been taught by Paul. He'd spent time with Paul and learned how Paul taught people and what he taught people. Paul said of Timothy, he is my true son in the faith. And we find in Acts chapter 16, that it seems to be the first place that Paul met Timothy during his missionary journeys. And it tells us that Timothy's mother was a believing Jewess, while his father was a Greek. But all the believers there at Lystra spoke well of him, and so Paul decided to take him in hand. And to Timothy, Paul said he was reminded often of Timothy's sincere faith, which was also in Timothy's grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice, and that he was gifted by God through the laying on of Paul's hands. A gifted young man who was put in the church at Ephesus to teach. What great examples, though, to have his mother and grandmother who were strong in their faith, and how important it is for mothers to pass on their faith to their children. When Paul and Barnabas split up during the missionary journeys, we find that Paul then selected Silas and carried on his mission. But he chose Timothy to train up and to help them on their journey. So as they went along preaching the gospel and teaching, Timothy was right there beside them, learning and also taking part. And Paul arranged for Timothy to be circumcised so that when they were preaching to the Jews, he would be acceptable to them. And he wouldn't be any issue. There wouldn't be any issues because he wasn't what they would call a proper Jew. So Timothy was with them on their missionary journeys, learning from Paul as they travelled through Phrygia, Galatia, Macedonia, Amphipolis, Apollonia, Thessalonica, Athens. He must have been there for months, if not years, learning. And these were all areas to the north of the Mediterranean Sea, including what is now known as Greece and Turkey. He was there with the other believers when Paul and Silas were beaten and imprisoned. Thankfully, he wasn't put in the prison with them, but he was around. And when they came out of prison, they all moved on together to Berea, and then to Athens, Corinth, and Ephesus, and then back in their journey, back through Macedonia, Turkey, and Greece. So Timothy became a valued member of Paul and Silas's team. So that's just a little bit of background on him, and where he came from and his knowledge. And at some point, Paul sent Timothy back to Corinth on his own to teach in the church there, and then to report back what he found to Paul. Then later it says he was also sent to teach in Thessalonica and then report back to Paul. And here in this passage, he's in Ephesus teaching the church. And here Paul urged him to teach doctrine in Ephesus. And he has written this letter to Timothy to encourage him and to clarify some of the teaching and to help build up the church and guard against false teachers. Paul suggests here that some people have been corrupted into thinking that godliness is a means to financial gain. I'm not quite sure how they get that, but this was the theory at the time. And this passage seeks to correct that belief, among other things. So firstly, here in 1 Timothy 6, there's an introduction and a clarification of the Christian view of wealth and the statement that godliness with contentment is of great gain. There's a clear statement here that we bring nothing into this world and we can take nothing out. And as we all know, it's likely that even what we've left behind will be taxed. So we should be content with our necessary food and clothing, as long as we have what we need to live on and to survive in this life, and to share with our family. Money in itself is not evil, but he warns that people whose goal is to get rich fall into temptations and a trap which can bring ruin and destruction. In verse 10, he teaches that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people seem to put all their focus onto that. That's all they're interested in, making more money. And this caused some people in the church to wander from the faith, and it results in grief. Then secondly, and from verses 11 to 16, Paul warns Timothy not to get caught up with this desire, but to pursue Christian virtues of righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And this list is similar to the fruits of the Spirit that Paul teaches about in Galatians chapter 5. Paul also told Timothy to take hold of eternal life and fight the good fight of the faith to which he was called. No doubt there were people in the church who were trying to influence Timothy away from sound teaching. Ephesus had been a centre of the worship of the goddess Artemis, or Diana, and it would have been a difficult place to minister and to try to get people to follow the true God. The risk in the church was for some people to make money their God. And that's still a risk for us today. Then in verse 15 and 16, that reminds us of God's power and holiness, in that God is King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light. So thirdly, from verse 17, Paul charges Timothy to teach others to live for Christ. and in that way gain a heavenly reward. Then he should teach the rich not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides all we need. Of course, there are many rich people who are very generous with their wealth, and we thank God for them. Then Timothy was told he should also exhort the wealthy to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. This is how they will lay up treasure for the coming age. And this ties in with Jesus' teaching in Matthew 6, not to lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, but to lay up treasure in heaven. He also said, God knows what you need. And if we put God's kingdom first, God will supply all our needs. So what does this mean for us today? Well, it is okay to be rich or to become rich as long as we don't make our riches our God. Whether we have little or much, we should be generous with what God has given us. And remember also that godliness with contentment is a great gain. If we live a contented life free of stress and worry, we will be much happier. Amen. Let's sing together hymn 641, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. We'll continue our worship with the offering. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the many gifts that we enjoy, for all that you have given to us, and we pray that you would accept these offerings from your people. May these gifts be used to extend your kingdom and to glorify your name. Amen. Now Jean's going to come and lead us in our prayers for others.
Let us pray. O God, our Father, we draw near to you now as we bring our prayer for others. We pray for the people across the world who are living in the midst of war, in particular those in Gaza and Ukraine. We pray for a solution to their plight. We pray for the doctors and nurses who are trying to care for those caught up in the conflict in Gaza. Give them the strength and endurance they need. We pray for the United Nations General Assembly in New York, which met this week. May they work together to find solutions to these conflicts. We pray for those in Taiwan and China who were caught up in the typhoon which damaged their countries. May they find refuge and help to repair the damage to their lives and properties. We pray for our own country and our governments in London and Edinburgh. May they govern with integrity and fairness. We pray for the Church in Scotland, that it will fight the good fight of the faith and place its hope in God. We pray for the Church in Forth at the beginning of this special week of celebration of 150 years of this church building. As we reflect on all the church buildings of the past, let us remain strong in faith and look to the future with the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We pray for our community, for the sick, the lonely, the bereaved. We pray especially for the family and friends of Frank Robertson. May they be comforted in their loss. Also for the Brown family. Be with them at this sad time. We pray for ourselves. May we find contentment in our lives. Help us to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness throughout our lives, and to use what wealth we have to do good, to be as generous as we can, and to share with those who are more needy than us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Jean. Now we're going to close our service singing together hymn number 352, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." Now may the peace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with us all in our hearts and thoughts this day and always.